yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. What I'm about to share with you is not like one of my anchor scriptures in the Bible, but it is that which is required. And as an intercessor myself, it is something that I understand that it is required of me, irrespective of my own opinion and my own convictions. My opinion don't matter when it comes to what God's word says. My opinion is irrelevant because the word of God has preeminence over every other thing. When a prophet comes to you, no matter how accurate the prophet is, if he comes to prophesy anything in contradiction of scripture, that prophecy must be accursed and set aside. See, I hear you. Turn your Bibles, let's begin our journey in some few minutes, and then we will have God to lead us as the Spirit of God so inspired and direct. 1 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to 4.
I exhort therefore, the first of all, supplications.
Stop there. I exhort therefore, that first of all, he didn't say second of all, or third, or fourth, or fifth, or sixth, or seventh, or eighth of all. He said, I exalt therefore that word first of all. Supplications, different from prayers. Prayers, intercession is also different from prayers. Those are three different things. They are all subjects of their own, that time won't allow us to break them all down. But please understand and appreciate that supplication is different from prayers, and intercession is different from prayers also. They all have their place. When time allows us, we'll break them down. Then he said, giving of thanks be made for all men. And thanksgiving also is a subject of his own. Thanksgiving means a lot of things, but one of the things thanksgiving means is the attitude of gratitude. Having a heart of appreciation and gratitude. Amen. So that in the mix of all the challenges we are going through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, it is required of us and it is mandatory to have an attitude of gratitude no matter what. We cannot forget the goodness of God. We cannot forget the goodness of tomorrow, of yesterday, the goodness of the past, for because of the challenges of today. In the mix of the challenges, we must take stock of how far God has brought us and where he has brought us from, and to give thanks for all the things he's brought us through, and have an attitude of gratitude, and not be babes where at every time in the history of our life when there are crises, we start acting like children and like we have no memory and we have forgotten of all the goodness of God. We cannot act that way. We need to be mature that in the mix of complaining and in the mix of recognizing the challenges that confront us on a daily basis, we must also remember the goodness of God and the victories of yesterday and of all that he has brought us through. In complaining, we must also acknowledge the good things that God has done and all that he has brought us through. Come before him with petitions, intercession, and give thanks. Give thanks means have an attitude of gratitude. Don't act like God hasn't done anything before. Don't act like this is the greatest challenge of your life and it's like God hasn't delivered you from nothing before. So in the mix of the complaint and the challenges, have an attitude of gratitude. Amen. It says, thanksgiving, make for all men, intercede, pray, supplication, thanksgiving, be made for all men. All men means all men, simple as that, irrespective of their political persuasion and religious beliefs and background. All men is all men because God is the God of all flesh. So he expects of us to give thanks, intercede, pray for all men. Verse 2.
For kings and for all that are in authority.
For king simply means for presidents. For presidents. For presidents. For all that are in authority. And it is mandatory, irrespective of your beliefs, preconceived ideas, and your ideology, or whatever your doctrines are, it is mandatory that we continue without fail to intercede for presidents, for those in authority. There are benefits of being an intercessor. That God can make a way for you where there is no way. If you speak to God's agenda, say, I hear you. The Bible said that the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And please understand that God does not react. And I'll prove it to you that God does not react. Amen? So look at the benefits. Look at the benefits if we will do it God's way. We are still at 2 Timothy.
That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
You see, get these benefits here. He said that a quiet and a peaceable life is an atmosphere that is conducive for creativity, that leads to productivity, that leads to stability, that attracts investment, and guarantees progress and development. An attitude and an environment that is conducive for business. An environment conducive for progress, for a sense of productivity and creativity. A hostile environment reduces the feeling and the sense of creativity to inactivity and desensitizes sensitivities and kills innovations. My English has come. So don't try me this morning. Hallelujah. But an atmosphere of peace and quietness and the life in all godliness and honesty, ladies and gentlemen, is a product of praying for kings and for all that are in authority. These kind of benefits don't come by debates. It doesn't come by murmuring and complaining as much as you have to debate. And as much as you must demonstrate, which is your constitutional right, and you must do it. I mean, if they ever mess with the church, I will do some things. Are you hearing me, somebody? I will do some things. But I'm saying that we have to be purposeful and we must not be led by hearsay and we must not be provoked. Intercessors are not provoked. But we cannot have an atmosphere of quietness. Tranquility. That is what quietness means, tranquility. Peace is not the absence of war, nor the absence of conflict. It is the presence of justice or honesty. And justice is a product of honesty. People who are honest seek for justice. And irrespective of your political ideology, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, these are the set rules of the kingdom that guarantees that which our heart yearns for. Go ahead, verse 3.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
For this is wrong and unacceptable. Do you know how many people criticize me for praying for this country and interceding for those in authority? As if it's a sin. People want to be accepted by society. They want to be in the good books of society. But I'll tell you something. If you want to be an intercessor, you'll never be in the good books of society. And if you want to please people, you will never please God. And if you please God, you can never please man. And if you're an intercessor, you must be willing to be misunderstood, to be misrepresented, to be scandalized. You must be willing to be stigmatized and to be hated and to become a mockery of society. But it's either you do it God's way or man's way. See, I hear you. Come with me. Look at the book of Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 7, the NIV version. Jeremiah 29 and verse 7.
Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile.
You see, stop there. The word seek the peace and pray for peace is two different things. To seek and to pray is two different things. To seek means, do you work for peace or you work for trouble and distraction? Do you pursue? Are you a peacemaker? Do you do things to guarantee the peace of this country? Or your actions, your pronouncement, your attitude, and the things you do, does it work for peace? Or it creates unrest or trouble? Where are you? Where do you stand? Tell me the outcome of your pronouncement and your action does to this country. Is it helping to secure the peace of this country? Or it brings trouble or undermine the peace of this country? If you consider your pain and betrayals, and you consider yourself and your immediate family, you will never sow and you will withhold what God has given you for the benefit of others, and one day you will answer to God.
Like Archbishop Duncan Williams on Facebook and receive inspiring prayers and messages every day. Log on today and see you online.
David said, because I've set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver and the cedars of Lebanon for the building of the house of my God.
Did you know that there's an Action Chapel near you? Wherever you are, stay connected to your family by logging on to www.actionchapel.net and click on branches. You can also watch all of our services live by logging on to www.actionchapel.tv. Action Chapel, welcome home.
Mm-hmm. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper.
You see, he said, pray to God for the peace and prosperity of your country. For in the peace and prosperity thereof shalt thou have peace and have prosperity. This nation's prosperity is to your benefit. The peace of this country is to your benefit. So you have to examine your actions, your pronouncement. And you are an intercessor. And please hear me. You are either an intercessor or an accuser. Period. You can't be both. You can't be an accuser and be an intercessor. And you can't be an intercessor and be an accuser. You are either one or the other. Period. You can't say you are praying and accuse the same people you are praying for. Anytime you become critical of people and you begin to accuse people, you have allowed the nature and the DNA of Satan to be injected into your DNA. And you become a messenger of Satan and an employee of Satan. You come on his payroll. So be an intercessor. And to be an intercessor, you cannot be an accuser. You have to choose to be one or the other. You can't be both. Intercessors are not critical of others. And you see the very nature of intercessors. See, I hear you. If there is curfew in this country, it affects everybody, irrespective of who you are. If there is good in this country, it affects us all. You see, God has set the diagnosis. It's like you go to the hospital and they find out what is wrong with you, and the doctor prescribe a particular medicine for you. You have to take it to be well. And this is a divine prescription. Amen? Simple. These people were in captivity, in prison. Jews in captivity. And God said, even in being in captivity, it is required and mandatory that if you want to know prosperity and peace where you are, pray to God for that country. Because in the prosperity and the peace of that country shall you that is in captivity know peace. We are not in captivity. We are free people. Say free. Free. Say freedom. Freedom. Come on, talk to me. Say freedom. Freedom. Are you free?
Yes.
Say I'm free. Say, thank God Almighty, I'm free. Now God said, you want to maintain your freedom, pray to God for the peace and prosperity of your country. See, I hear you. Now hear me. I am not saying that when people are wrong, we shouldn't acknowledge they are wrong. We have to separate the error and the wrong of the person that stands in the office from his office. Are you hearing me, somebody? I won't criticize your office, but I will criticize your wrongdoing. It's two different things. You see what I said? You can't insult a president's office, but you can question his wrong decisions without insulting the office. It's two different things. And that takes a lot of maturity. It takes a lot of skill to do that. You have to be very objective. Amen. So you don't destroy the channels. Amen. See, I hear you. Okay, look at 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23.
Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in season to pray for you.
You see, look at Samuel. Samuel, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. He did acknowledge that not to pray for his people or his nation was a sin. Do you know how many of us are sinning for not praying for our nation, for our people, and for those in authority, and for kings? It's a sin, according to the Bible. You have a problem, take a knife and cut it out of your Bible and face God. That's what Samuel is saying. He said it's a sin not to pray for your country, for those in authority. Irrespective of your political beliefs and ideology, it is mandatory that we pray for those in authority. That is what guarantees peace, God's way. And hear what he said. Look at what he said.
But I will teach you the good and the right way.
He said, I will teach you the good and the right way. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the good and the right way. There is the bad and the evil way, but I'm presenting to you the good and the right way of changing the course of history and events in countries and in nations. This is the way. Job chapter 42, verse 10. Look at some of the benefits of an intercessor. Then we want to look at what an intercessor is and certain examples of an intercessor.
And the Lord turned the captivity of Job
when he prayed
for his friends.
And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before.
Yes.
When did the Lord turn his captivity? When he was angry with his friends? When he was critical? When he condemned? When he accused? When he reacted? When he debated? When he questioned? When he was hurt? When he was bitter? But when? And when? Now look at me. Do you know how many months it took Job to come to that place of praying for his friends? 9 months. 9 months. He was angry for 9 months. Hurt for 9 months. Offended for 9 months. Reacted for 9 months. And nothing happened. The condition worsened. Nothing changed. The change only came after 9 months of murmuring and complaining and cursing the day that he was born. The only thing he didn't do was to curse God. Apart from cursing God, he cursed everything. 9 months of acting crazy. Then after 9 months of realizing that all the reaction, complaining, bitterness, being offended, and all the things he was doing wasn't working, then he came to himself and he prayed for his friends. As soon as he prayed for a friend, God said, you now have my attention. You've done it my way. And the Bible says, and God turned his captivity. And he had that twice as much as he had before. May the Lord turn your captivity this day. I said, may the Lord God turn your captivity this day. And give you double for all your pain. Say, double for my shame.
Did you know that there's an Action Chapel near you? Wherever you are, stay connected to your family by logging on to www.actionchapel.net and click on Branches. You can also watch all of our services live by logging on to www.actionchapel.tv. Action Chapel, welcome home.
Okay, let's look at what is intercession and examples of intercessors.
An intercessor is one who stands in the gap.
One that stands in the gap. Not one that opposes the gap, but one that takes a stand before God in the gap for others. Number two.
It could be a church who stands between God and those who deserve his wrath.
It can be the church or a church or an individual or a group of people who stand between God and man to hold back the wrath and the anger of God that man deserves. And we hold back the wrath and the anger of God to give men and women time to repent or time to grow up or to come to themselves to do the right thing. Intercessors has that mandate. Go ahead.
Examples of successful intercessors. Number one, Jesus.
Jesus, for 3 years, accomplished his mission, but he ever lives over 2,000 years now to make intercession for you and I. Over 2,000 years praying. That's why an intercessor is the highest calling of all other callings in the Bible. Because you can never stop praying until Jesus comes. He ever lives to make intercession. Look at the second example of an intercessor.
Abraham.
Abraham had the audacity to hold God. Go to Genesis 18, begin from the 17th verse. Let's look at Abraham having the audacity to hold God at ransom and bringing the entire universe to a standstill. Heaven came to a standstill. Earth came to a standstill. Creation came to a standstill. The stars and the moon came to a standstill. The great rivers and the oceans of the earth came to a standstill. The 24 angels of heaven came to, elders came to a standstill. The creation came to a standstill. Angels came to a standstill. God came to a standstill. Everything came to a standstill, and heaven and earth was at a standstill. God himself was held at ransom at the petition of a man by the name of Abraham, who had the audacity to petition God, and God could not move. He held God at ransom until he had finished interceding for the cause of a city that he cared about. Look at the audacity of a man born of a woman like you and I. Genesis, the 18th chapter, reading from the 17th verse.
And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do?
Remember that intercession have and know the secrets of God. Sometimes when I take decisions and I act, I'm not doing it out of passion, because passion is an act and an attribute of the soul, but revelation comes from the spirit. And sometimes I take a stand and I do things and take decisions, not because of passion or conviction of anything. It's based on revelation of what I know and what has been revealed to me as the secret of the Lord concerning matters and events of the future, which I call advanced knowledge. And as a result of advanced knowledge, which doesn't make sense to knowledge and does not make sense to man and to the logic of man, I take particular stands. And sometimes I know that men will misunderstand me, but I don't also blame them, because they don't know what I know. They don't have understanding of the outcome of events and circumstances. So they talk, they criticize, they react to what they can see and what they hear and what they feel, because they don't know what the future holds. And I operate at a different frequency, at a different level. And therefore, I don't fight, I don't condemn, I don't criticize. I pity them and I look at them and I know that your level is not my level and my frequency is not your frequency. Your rock is not my rock. Your God is not my God. Somebody lift up your hand, shout yes.
Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him.
You see, stop here. This is a very, very serious thing. God said, I will make my word and promise to Abraham real, on the condition that he will have the ability not to be afraid of his children, but to command his children to do the right thing. And there are parents here who can command their children. You come to church on Sunday, but you leave your children at home. You are afraid to command them. They go anywhere they want to go. They go to disco nightclubs on Saturday night, come home Sunday early morning when you are going to church. They are sleeping, and you come and sit at church, and they are asleep because they've gone to nightclub all night long and boogie all night and booze all night, and you can't say anything because you're giving them education. The best education you can give to your children is not for them to go to school. The best inheritance you can give to your children is spirituality. Spirituality. That is what is lacking in our society today. And a lot of your children, they are not spiritual. They are very educated, but they are very carnal. They have no understanding of spirituality. And that is what is killing us. And a lot of parents are preparing the future for their children, but they are not preparing the children for the future. No spirituality. God said Abraham will command his children. It's a quality that is so necessary for these end times. And sometimes I worry about future generation of Christians. Whether we will have a generation of Christians. Wishy-washy. No convictions. Can't take a stand. Move by anything. May God give us children who are spiritual children. Educated, but have spirituality. Amen. Look at the next verse.
For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces.
Stop there. There's a lesson there we must learn. As an intercessor, you don't react. Say, you can't react. Tell somebody, you cannot react. That's the first thing. Intercessors don't react. You don't react based on what you hear or what you see. The Bible says he will not judge by the hearing of his ears or by the seeing of his eye. So please be careful that you don't let people provoke you and people cause you to react based on things you hear or things you see. It's very, very deceptive. God is not like that. Even God, who knows the outcome of everything, said, I've heard, it has come to me, but I've come down to investigate whether what has come to me is true or false. And people in authority, in all kinds of works of life, must be very careful that when you have power, you must be careful how you use power. Because people can provoke you when you have power to deploy your power to destroy innocent people, and you answer to God and pay for it. How you use power is very important. Politicians, judges, people in authority, you have to be very careful how you use power. And you must always check why you are exercising power. Because if you exercise power to the disadvantage of anybody, because you were manipulated or compelled or vexed or provoked to exercise that power to disadvantage anybody, you will answer to God, because God is the source of all power. For it is written, once we've heard that power belongs to God, and twice it's come clear that all power belongs to God. So you have to be careful how the way you use power. See, I hear you. Finish, please.
And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?"
Now this is, look at the audacity of a man. You see, intercessors have an audacity. They are very bold. They are courageous. Go ahead.
Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes.
Okay, now watch it. 9,950 lives will be spared for 50 righteous. Period. 9,950 lives will be spared for the sake of 50 righteous people. Go ahead.
And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, they shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again.
Look, this guy was serious. Oh. Abraham was no joke. He was very skillful. And if you look at the way he handled the intercession, I was very excited about that. He began from 50 to 45. And then when he got to 45, he said, you know something? I need to accelerate my intercession because I'm holding the whole universe at ransom. The whole universe is at a standstill. And I have to use this opportunity wisely. I must maximize the opportunity. So he said, instead of breaking it from 45 to 40 to 35, let me hasten it. So he went from 45 to what? He went from 45 to 40, and then from 40, instead of going to 35, he went to 30. Look at how he worked it. Look at it.
And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake.
Okay, go to 33.
Uh-huh. And the Lord went his way. As
soon as what?
As soon as he had left communing with Abraham.
You see? So he would have stood there if Abraham had had the endurance and the strength to continue. And I believe if Abraham had interceded for 5 more, or for 4, for 3, even to 1, God would have given in. Because for God, all life is life. Are you hearing me, somebody? See, I hear you. For the sake of 10 righteous, I will spare 9,999 sinners. It's exciting. Amen? I said amen.
Amen.
Come with me to Exodus chapter 32, verse 10 to 14. Quickly, let's run through.
Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them,
uh-huh,
and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people.
Can you believe this? It's a good place to clap your hands. The Lord did what? It's amazing. It's really amazing how God was angry with his own people and decided to kill them and to raise up Moses' children to be great. And because God offered Moses a deal and he rejected it, if you look at the scriptures carefully, after this, we didn't hear anything about Moses' children. God said, Moses, I'm giving you an opportunity for your children to become great. And he said, forget about my children. I don't want them to be great. Don't kill your people for the sake of my children. And he said, God, why are you angry with your people? He stood in the gap, and the anger of God could not cross over from Moses to destroy the people. He held the anger and the wrath of God at bay as an intercessor. And the Bible says, and God changed his mind and repented of the evil he had planned for his own people. An intercessor. Moses had such an audacity. You remember Samuel, when God gave up on King Saul, that Samuel kept praying for Saul until God came to Samuel and said, why are you worrying yourself? I will not answer your prayer. I'm finished with this guy. Leave him alone. So intercessors don't give up on people. And I said it at the first and second service, that even in this church, I have prayed for people who have turned against me. And sometimes the reason why I don't give up praying for them, I recognize, because I walk in revelation and I see, I recognize that sometimes the forces that are destroying them will turn them against me to provoke me to give up on them so they can finish them. And sometimes they will misbehave and act in a way that don't make sense. And I said to myself, but I'm fighting for you, I'm praying for you, I'm trying to help you. Why are you acting? Why are you disrespecting me? They won't come to church, they will ask all kinds of way, and they will turn against you and become an enemy. Why is you are fighting for their own deliverance? It's amazing. Bishop Nyako will tell you, I've seen it all the time. And sometimes too in the church, I've seen when the devil wants to kill people prematurely, what he does is to give them money. They haven't developed the capacity and the understanding to manage that kind of money or that kind of power, that kind of exposure, that kind of influence. And when they come into power, they come into money, into influence, that they haven't developed a corresponding character for or capacity for, it destroys them and they die prematurely. And I've seen that with pastors, with prophets, with apostles, with bishops that I train. They come into exposures they are not ready for. They start seeing money, they don't understand the use of the money. And next thing, the money becomes their God. And the money gives them a sense of direction. And next thing, they become arrogant, very proud. And the power, the wealth, the influence destroys them. And some die prematurely. I've seen it over and over again. If you consider your pain and betrayals, and you consider yourself and your immediate family, you will never sow and you will withhold what God has given you for the benefit of others, and one day you will answer to God.
Like Archbishop Duncan Williams on Facebook and receive inspiring prayers and messages every day. Log on today and see you online.
David said, because I've set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver and the cedars of Lebanon for the building of the house of my God.
Did you know that there's an Action Chapel near you? Wherever you are, stay connected to your family by logging on to www.actionchapel.net and click on branches. You can also watch all of our services live by logging on to www.actionchapel.tv. Action Chapel, welcome home.
There is no money I can't handle now. But there were some monies I couldn't have handled 5-10 years ago. Because 5-10 years ago, I didn't understand what I understand today. And there are projects I have today that needs every money that ever comes into my hands. So money don't dictate to me anymore. Money does not dictate to me. There's too much to do for God and the house of God and humanity for money to control me. But 5-10 years ago, there are some monies that will pass through my hands. Oh, Lord. My work will change. I'll start doing like this. Amen? But today, it doesn't matter the exposure or the money that comes into me. I'm still myself. It doesn't matter at all. Why? Because I have come of age. I have matured. I understand the use of power. I understand the use of money. I'm not arrogant or boastful about influence and achievement anymore. I don't make noise about certain favors and access I have anymore. Before, I used to, you know, want to show people that, you know what I mean, I'm the man. These days, I really don't care. I don't care whether I'm the man or somebody else is the man. It doesn't really matter. What I care is I just want to be sure that I'm doing what God requires of me and that I'm pleasing God, period. That's all. I don't want to do things because others are doing it. I don't. When people can say, Papa, these people are doing this. We too, we must do this. We too, we must. I just look at them and I laugh. And you know why I laugh? I don't do things because others are doing it. I don't do that. I do what God inspires me to do and what He requires of me. Everybody with what God has called them to do. And on the day of judgment, we will all answer. I've come to a place where whether people like me or they don't like me, really don't matter to me anymore. As long as I'm pleasing God, that is fine with me. Everything else is sinking sand. Stand on your feet. Please write this down. Give us the qualities. Please write down the qualities of an intercessor, please. I want to give this to you. Tomorrow night, I'll just speak a little bit before we pray. But please write the qualities of intercessors. It's important that you know this. Write it down. Number one.
One, they are God-centered.
They are God-centered. They are not self-centered. Write down. God-centered and not self-centered. One. Number two.
They love God and they love his people.
They love God and love for God's people. Do you love others?
Love.
It's easier to love God, but do you love God's people? Do you care? Three.
They are diligent.
Very diligent. Diligent. Four.
They are selfless.
Selfless. Selfless. Not self-centered. Selfless. Five.
They are compassionate.
Do you have compassion? Do you feel for people? Do you care? Do you feel for the pain of others? It's important. Compassion. Carrying the pain and the burdens of others. Number six.
They are bold.
Bold as a lion. The wicked runneth when no man pursueth. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. They are fearless. Number seven.
They know the word of God.
You must know the scripture. So when a prophet comes and gives you a prophecy and he contradicts scripture, you will tell him, thank you very much for the accuracy of your prophecy, but I know scripture. And I also know God for myself. So you judge prophecy based on scripture and on inner conviction, whether you have a witness in your spirit to what is being told you or not. You have to judge prophecy. Number nine, number eight.
They must prevail in prayer even when they are mocked or disappointed.
Even when you are disappointed and you are mocked. Sometimes as an intercessor, you'll be mocked. You become a mockery. They will say, oh, he has nothing to preach. Every time prayer, 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 prayer. That's what they'll say. I know this morning, some of you predicted my message before I came. But you know, it doesn't bother me anymore. Because I preach everything. I preach. So your perception of me doesn't matter. Because you can't pray enough. And I want to also establish something. I need you to have a prayer life. To pray 3 times a day. Pray 30 minutes in the morning. 10, 15 minutes in the afternoon. Another 10, 15 minutes in the evening. Some 10, 15 minutes before you go to bed. Sometimes I do 5 times a day, 4 times a day minimum. So in the morning, about 30 minutes. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. Sometime in the afternoon, you just walk in your office. Just walk. Tola kadi hasala hasis. I break the frontiers of the enemy. I bring on that divine judgment and the arrest of the powers of the dark kingdom. I superimpose, I enforce the promise. Hey! I deploy the angels. I deploy the hand of God. I engage the voice of the blood. 10, 15 minutes. You break. You go do work. You come again. Another 5, 10 minutes. Stand on your feet. Are you clapping? If you are clapping, do it well and give God praise. Lift up both of your hands. Lift up both of your hands. Say, Father, I repent for prayerlessness. I repent for laziness. For indiscipline. I repent for being sluggish. I repent in the name of Jesus of the lack of compassion and love. I repent for being critical of others. I repent for being an accuser. From this day, I confess that I'll be an intercessor and not an accuser. I declare I will not die prematurely. I rebuke any heart attack. I rebuke any virus, any demonic arrows, injections, threatenings, manipulations, projections, ill wills to take me off the scene. Let it backfire. Say backfire, backfire, backfire. In the name of Jesus, backfire. Say backfire.